Your energy is gone, your hunger is loud, and your plans aren't feeding you. So what are you still doing here? Cool off with a refreshing large Big Gulp drink at 7-Eleven. Cold, refreshing, and made the way you like it. It's available at 7-Eleven and just 59 cents with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. While supplies last, participating stores see app for full terms.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. The political economics picture in the United Kingdom right now is chaos because of strikes. The headlines tell the story, how strikes will bring Britain to a standstill on February 1st. Subhead, train drivers latest to announce new action, prolonging disruption that has brought misery to commuters in recent months. This has been going on at least since the holiday season. It involves the ambulance drivers, the NHS, civil servants, train drivers, all manner of workers in the United Kingdom, all looking for wage increases to respond to inflation. And also what I'm feeling now is more and more a political argument between the Conservative government that's been in authority for at least a dozen years, now led by the third prime minister in as many months, and Labour, which is in a diminished state, numbers in Parliament, and is still associated with practices that came to naught for Labour in the 1970s and 1980s. So, Joe, this present threat of February 1st, what is it that the government can do about this? Because I'm understanding there in Parliament are bills to stop strikes.
Well, I mean, in the short term, what the only thing that the government could probably do to end this would be to agree to pay the striking unions more, which the government is certainly resisting, you know, with varying degrees of wisdom, depending on the individual union and the workers involved. I think they are in a real pickle because, I mean, one thing to be clear on is that the kind of legislation that they're talking about is not actually going to ban strikes. What it would do is require the unions to keep a certain minimum number of people on working to guarantee a certain minimum level of service. But, you know, by definition, you're still going to have people who ordinarily you would want to be working going on to the picket line, you know, if the union votes for a strike. So I'm not sure that this is going to be much of a solution. And I mean, they are just stuck, you know, some of the, because there is a broader inflation and cost of living crisis. So the unions are not wrong to worry about whether their inflation adjusted pay is falling far behind the rapid inflation. There is kind of a debate about the starting point here and whether their wages going into this inflationary cycle were higher than many private sector workers, so that you can have an argument about fairness here. But the reality is that if you are going to make a decision that such a large proportion of your workforce will work for the government or work for entities like the train operators that are very closely regulated by the government, the reality is that you will then have a large segment of your labor force that will constantly want to have a go at some of that taxpayer money.
The teachers' unions now are going through turmoil because the Postal Service may or may not have helped with delivering ballots that may or may not have been returned correctly. It's all very confusing. But we're looking at the teachers going out, civil service, some aspect of civil service going out, the train drivers going out, and NHS, there are too many directions there for me to list everybody going out. This is, in general, what we would regard in the U.S. as chaos. Your measure of the government, is it responding in an alarmed fashion, or is this politics as usual in Parliament?
Well, I think that the government has concluded that the only thing that they can feasibly do is try to stare down the unions. And partly that's because they feel that they are under such strain in terms of the government finances in general, that they don't think that they could afford to offer a higher pay to a lot of the striking unions. So until something changes, we're going to be at an impasse. Now, government officials, I mean, there are reports that they are quietly hoping that eventually the unions will run out of the resources to sustain these strikes and that the striking workers will get tired of not getting paid for those days and will kind of lose heart if they begin to think that they're going out on strike and losing all of that strike day pay with no prospect that they're going to get a raise at the end of it to compensate. But you know, this becomes very complicated because there's also this issue of public sympathy for some of the unions. And, you know, there is a suggestion that the public might be less sympathetic to the train drivers, but does seem to be pretty sympathetic to the nurses, for example. So it's hard to draw any broad conclusions about this, but the government's approach to all of these pay disputes is to tough it out. And one difficulty will be that if the government finds itself in a situation, say, where they want to offer higher salary to the nurses, because that would be politically popular, the train drivers are going to come along and say, well, hang on, you have to give us a rise too, even if that would be less politically popular. So I think that the government is going to be stuck here for the foreseeable future.
Joseph Sternberg in London for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. He writes political economics. We're headed to Switzerland next. The Davos people are gathering. What does this mean about the troubles we see in Ukraine, worldwide supply chain? I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,